Oh my God, you guys even listen to Drake? We're going to be talking about Drake joining the Fortnite phenomenon. Apparently all that Battlefront 2 needed was a couple of extra months and fans to get really pissed. Also, Amazon, people can just list stuff on Amazon and there's no quality controls. It's really bizarre. Anyways, we're talking about a lot of that and more. All of it, because I talked about it. Right now, an inventory full. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie God's stuff, plan. News, and interviews.
I hold back, sometimes I won't. Yeah. I feel good sometimes.
Welcome, everybody, to Inventory Full. Thanks again to the fine folks of the Popcorn Talk Network for giving us this time to talk about gamer culture with you. I'm Mark Danica. That's Nate Miller. That's Stacey Shuttleworth. That's Patrick Dees. Let's get right into it because we're low on time. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Man, Nate, you can dance.
God's plan. Let's get it.
Why, might as well.
Man, Nate, you can move, man.
Man.
I got the robot thing.
I played a lot of DDR.
So oh, okay. So that makes sense.
You and me both, brother. This is a dark time. really quickly, just to go over what everybody was playing, there's a lot of Assassin's Creed play over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to make a really bad joke. Anyway, yeah, because right here it says ass origins.
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so Nate, tell me about this ass play. Did you finish the? you said you finished the story mode.
I did. Yeah, I had quite a few days off this week and not too many things to do.
Nice.
So Assassin's Creed, top my list.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of got sucked into it as I've been playing.
Sucked into ass play.
That's how it always happens. You don't ever. So yeah, you know, nobody sets out to get into that, but it just.
I plead
you
the fifth.
End up there.
I plead the fifth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. I got sucked in. I was like kind of feeling it, kind of not. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, I'll just keep playing. Yeah, and I like I told you guys earlier, it is. I can easily say now it's my favorite Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow.
Not for anything Assassin's Creed related,
right?
But just for like gameplay and mechanics and systems. I think they really nailed it.
It feels
the combat
good, doesn't
it? Is really good.
Totally.
The boss fights are cool.
Yep.
The different weapons and different weapon styles. Yeah, I really like it a lot. The side missions, the amount of effort that they actually put into. Voicing characters and making the world really feel alive the way, you know, even it's the little things, like when you're riding down the road in this massive desert and there's nothing in between you and you come into this herd of rams and you're like, oh, I'm gonna shoot the rams for some leather that I need, and then you're watching them, you're like, wait a minute, are those rams fighting? And they're literally fighting each other, like doing like the mating like that's detail right there. I put my controller down and I stood and I applauded.
It was a controller toss moment.
I kind of love it when the cats run up right next to you and then they just sit like right by you. It's just a little diagram, the little things.
Yeah,
what was the turning point though for you, like, because I know you weren't really feeling it, but what was the point where you're like, yep, I'm all in, I'm finishing this?
I mean, it was probably like 20 hours when I hit like 25 and I got more of the skill tree.
Yep.
And I got a few different legendary weapon. So like before, I was telling you I had that one sword that like instant charges, and I was like, well, this is dumb, I'm just gonna use this all game.
Totally.
But there's a lot of
yes.
different
yes.
That was the thing that's really interesting is the way their weapon system works and the different stats that they have and different abilities. And then like, do you want this long slow spear that gives you health on hit, or do you want the quick short range sword that do bleeding on critical damage?
Right.
And it like kind of depends on what are you going up against, especially for some of the boss fights and stuff.
Totally.
The bows also, I really enjoyed the variety of that. Yeah, so the combat system is really it's just way more like, the horde mode. If you told me there was a horde mode in like even in Black Flag, I would have been like, no, thank you.
Right, agreed.
But now, it's just way more interesting.
It's fun, right?
They don't just stand around and wait for you to fight the
other
guy. They jump in there, or they shoot some bows. It's really good.
Have you killed any of the elephants yet?
Yes. Oh. I've killed...
I know, it's gross. It's gross.
I just have the...
I know. Looking and just...
I have the two. I have the two left.
Oh, cool, okay.
Okay.
The one where it's two at the same time.
Got it.
That's it. Did you go out in like the... I'm assuming you have. Into like the low desert, where there's like that... thing that you kind of have to discover on. I don't want to like give
no,
it away if you
no,
haven't.
No, don't
there.
Spoil it, but the thing.
In the bottom of the map.
I think so.
Okay,
yes, yes.
Right, cool.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, this is a spoiler free cast. That was quality.
Yes,
thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Thank
but,
you.
Yeah. Yep. Great game. I do have to say my one downside is the assassin-y story mystery stuff that I really like. The Templar assassins battling for thousands of years things is like. It's noticeably missing. And I know it's supposed to be like the start of the order and stuff. And there was some of that stuff that's like, oh, it's cool. Oh, what are they going to call their new laws they live by? A creed? But it wasn't enough to me to get that same kind of like struggle of two powerful forces like before. The order felt so lame.
I think, though, I am with you. I don't know that that hits home. And I'm not much of a fanboy for all of the other lore. But for me, it was a much more intensely personal story. Like, learning about their loss and how loss affects relationships and how people move on with their life post-loss. For me, that was, like, way more interesting than, like, gotta hold up this crazy, like, brotherhood. Like, normally I don't care about any of that stuff. But, like, for me, it was, I think, a really, like, approachable story. I get it. Everybody's known somebody or lost somebody themselves. And so, for me, it really hit home. I liked a lot of elements of their story personally.
I agree.
How much, Stacey, you said, how many hours did you put in this past weekend?
So I probably played a solid like 10 to 12 hours of this
game.
That
seems like a lot.
Yeah, you know, it does.
In one weekend.
It seems
it does. Well, for some reason, this whole week, every time I had a little bit of free time to just sit down and play something, I was like, all right, well, I could log on and play Overwatch with everybody or something like that. Or I could play Assassin's Creed.
Nice.
And this week I was just like, no, I'm going to play Assassin's Creed. And I was like, I'm going to do the main quest. I'm going to keep going through the main quest. And I'd be heading towards where the main quest is. And there's that stupid little diamond with the that tells you that there's a side quest somewhere. And
you got to learn how to fast travel, sis.
No,
you can always, you can come back.
I know,
it doesn't
go anywhere.
The side mission doesn't go away.
I ended up completely up in the like northwest of the map, which I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to be there yet.
It's
as far
a gorgeous
as
part of the world,
it
though.
Is gorgeous. Totally. I'm not supposed to be there yet. I'm really not. And I'm up there, like, completing all these side quests and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, all right, I need to go back. I need to, these missions are not going anywhere. And I finally convinced myself of that and went back and did some of the main quest. But,
You're talking like Serene?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should be there at that level, but you also should be there in the main quest.
Right. She's getting there.
No,
yeah, yeah.
I am not there. So, I mean, this world is just, it's completely overwhelming and completely magical in that it is just so realistic and filled out. Like, it is a completely fleshed out world.
Yeah. It's massive. Like, they've thought of everything. Just going through the desert for like an extended period of time and then you can get hit with the mirages.
So cool.
That is one of my favorite things.
Did you guys get sucked into the whole like picture mode? I've like really gone. I went deep.
It's stupid.
I know. I take a damn good picture in that game. Right. I like a preternatural talent for like video game picture taking. Yeah. Thank you, Stacey.
Over this week.
All of over the past couple of months, it's not like I haven't wanted to play the game. I totally have, and then something else comes out. Yeah. Like, oh, shiny. Something else. Oh, shiny. And now we are on the eve of Sea of Thieves.
I know. Yeah.
And it's pre-ordered. It's downloaded. It's waiting for me when I get home. I tried launching it early, and they said no.
Okay, so you nice bought try. The retail game as opposed to going through that Xbox Games Pass.
No. Not Game Pass. For the sake of... to be perfectly honest, now that there is crossplay between or Xbox Play Anywhere, now that there is that, I'm not necessarily tied to having a box.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
For it. If I already have a PS4 multi-platform stuff, I can go there. But if I can still get Xbox exclusives on my PC, which is just strong enough to play them,
great.
I might do that. Also, buying digital, I get it both for PC and for Xbox.
Great. That makes complete sense. I just was like, it's the first time I'm getting the Game Pass. Like, I'm like, fuck it, that sounds
great. Sense.
Yeah, no, I'm very into
totally
it.
Makes sense. But I don't, to be perfectly honest, I don't know how long I'm going to have my physical Xbox.
Totally.
So I don't know.
Yeah, like, options.
But now that I have to play Assassin's Creed Origins, which I have for the Xbox One, that is one more thing that's going to be keeping me from selling that box.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to. I just have to watch 40 movies first. More on that later. Let's get a little bit into... I played something this week, today. I played some Zelda. I got done with the fourth Divine Beast. And now I'm finally going to go after Ganon, and I'm going to beat the game and be done with it. Just because there's some stuff coming out for the Switch this year, and as much as I'm loving Zelda, I kind of want to get the Champion's Ballad, but I may wait.
That motorcycle?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I may wait just to be like, man, I miss Zelda. I want to go back and do more, and then pick it up as opposed to buying it and having it. And wanting to keep playing it, but I won't. Let's talk
really quickly, though. I want to tell Nate. Nate and I were texting very late about. We both played some
Wildlands.
From Wildlands. I beat the DLC, which has a very fucked up ending as well. So at some point, we need to trade.
I don't have any of the DLCs.
I can't recommend it enough. It's its own like island. If you like liking that game and you want more of it, it's just so much more of that game.
That's Steve in the booth here. Which DLC are you talking about?
Fallen Ghosts. I didn't do the Narco Road. The Fallen Ghosts with the crossbow, which is a pretty dope mechanic. You can hit people and pin them to walls. Ooh. Are you kidding me? It's real good. It's real good.
That fun.
See, we play that?
Sorry, guys. No, I played a little bit of Fallen Ghosts and Narco Road. Narco Road is sort of an undercover storyline.
Yeah, like undercover. A Mountain Dew-fueled like rally trucks, right? Like, it didn't look like it was my speed. And, I'm going to skip that one.
A little on the zany side. Yeah. But Fallen Ghosts has, like, elite commandos coming after you with stealth camouflage straight out of Metal Gear Solid and like all kinds of stuff.
I'm still all about the ghillie suit.
Fair enough.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff this week. Yeah. Some of it was pretty short, pretty quick. Some of it, I think, we can talk a fair amount about. So apparently Battlefront 2 was fixed. A patch is launching March 21st, and here is a quick highlight of what's happening. All progression is now linear. You can only earn star cards through gameplay. Are you Vanna Whiting it?
Yeah, I like it.
Because it's kind of BS. So you don't get crates for star cards, which essentially means all of the natural progression stuff that you get to power yourself up, you get through play, which it should have launched with. Right. Because now there's a 6-month window, or at least the first couple of week window. God damn it.
The
Nate.
6 was really good. Oh, come on.
It was, but also shout out to our audio listeners who can't see any of this shit.
I am now pantomiming one. No, I'm
sorry. Yes, please.
ASMR. But so now there's still the problem of the people who bought all of the loot boxes. Yeah. Being ahead, and the people joining now are still at a disadvantage.
Yeah, and now they can't even pay to catch up.
Nope. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because everybody keeps everything they add with the old system.
Well, you have to do that. You can't take that shit away.
Like, especially, sorry, guys, we're taking that all back.
Especially if people paid for them. If people paid for them, that's even
more. You're paying for items that don't actually exist in any physical realm at all.
You can't take that back.
I'm just saying. You could. I bet you in their...
Oh, yeah, I think legally they can. I think that would be... You talk about the PR nightmare that would have, like...
By the don't way, worry. All that no shit more loot boxes, for, but we're taking everything back.
With the digital repo, man.
No. It's like, we're taking all of those purchases and starting everybody clean. But you get a free copy of Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Nope.
So now, crystals and credits only purchase cosmetic items, and loot boxes still exist, but only for cosmetic items. Which, all of this stuff is like, yeah, that's what it should have been.
Right.
The first time. So I already, I don't own Battlefront 2 presently. Will I own it? I don't know. Maybe.
Didn't you buy it?
I said traded it back I in? Don't own it presently.
Right. Well, let's be clear with our.
I can't be. I'm opaque. I can't.
I'm never gonna play that game again. So my question to you guys is that, like, we were tweeting about this. Like, is this too little, too late? Like, does anybody give a shit anymore? Like, nobody cares, right? I understand that they have to circle back up and clean it up, but like, this is not gonna move the needle for them, right?
No.
Hashtag take the Star Wars license away from EA.
Yeah, no one's gonna go back and start playing this again.
T-minus like four more years though. Yeah. They got a long...
Well, okay, but there's still going to be a huge gap now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Nobody's going to pick this back. It's just too little, too late.
The story isn't worth people picking up the game to play through.
Fucking no, it's not!
What if they follow it up, guys? What if they follow it with more free DLC?
It's all free DLC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they announced that at launch, it's all free DLC.
But more DLC!
The problem is, without some type of a catch-up mechanic, the core group of people who... bought a bunch of things to be super strong in the game are going to continue to be super strong the entirety of the rest
and
of the
even
game.
If it's like a double XP, like a pretty frequent immediacy of double XP weekends, like, those people who have all of those powers are going to make that hell for all of the people who are trying to play.
Yeah,
as much as I'm a fan of the Star Wars franchise, and it's like, yeah, I want to play as Kylo Ren, this is bad. This is so bad. And Battlefront 3, I don't know if that is scarred enough, even if it launches with these same fixes, like, out of the box, maybe. But if there's... I wonder also if that means that they move up their next release so that they can have that clean slate.
Dude, I think, I don't know about you guys, but like, I'd be interested in your temperature, but I feel like this brand is torched. Like, I think it's become toxic. And can you believe, if you'd have told me at the beginning of this year that they would have fucked the Mass Effect brand and Star Wars in 1 year, I would have bet you $1,000. I was like, not possible. Like, two of the strongest sci-fi brands of all time.
Hey, man.
What?
Yeah. Three words. A way out. Fix everything.
Yeah, I'm on board. I'm going to play that. But, like, are you
fuck
kidding
the Oscars.
Yeah. Anyway. Did you see they were, like, 20% down? I meant to tweet at that dude, Joseph, what's his name? Be like, yo, you did call that.
Yeah. Nailed it. Fuck that. Poor fans. Not poor Battlefront. Poor fans. Because this whole situation, everybody, like, I don't. EA fucked everything up.
Yeah.
Because
DICE, like, you know that they made a great shooter with good mechanics and it looks
good.
Great and good
stunning
physics.
It feels good.
And
I agree.
They just picked the game apart in order to make more money from it and cut it and edited it and then.
From a Star Wars standpoint, Christy Golden, who's an amazing author, wrote the prequel story for Inferno Squadron.
Yeah.
It's a great book. It's a great audio book because the actress, and her name escapes me, who plays Iden, reads the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And the story is great. It gets you invested in Inferno Squad, and it made me so, so excited for the story mode. And then the story mode didn't know that the book existed and rewrote all of the characters to be something just garbage and, like, yeah. I'm so sad that I got so invested.
Yeah.
Because one thing was very Star Wars, the other thing was not, and I think that EA is to blame for that as well.
But I'm with you, like, in the sense that, like, they built a, like, mechanically incredibly solid game. It's stunning. Like, I even really love the vehicle missions, that mode where you're flying the fighter squadron, you didn't even play it. He's looking at me like, look.
I'm here.
Nate looked at me like I asked him the square root of something. He's like, excuse me, what? It feels great. And yeah, like to that point, like it's hard to believe that it was fumbled this badly.
And really, really quickly in chat, Isia _J says EA is trash now. Quote now. They're messing up on The Sims 4 now, too. Does anybody know how they're fucking
up? No, I have not
kept up
with The Sims. What is this?
The only thing I've heard about The Sims 4 is that they're doing a Final Fantasy crossover, which is very, very silly.
Of course
silly. Yeah, of course I would know this. Right. But they're putting Noctis's outfit in the game. And they're also giving, in Final Fantasy for PC, you get two really stupid skins.
Oh, I thought you would have been able to play the PC version of 15 in Simlish.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God, on board.
Spare us all.
Soccer ball, Robert. Soccer ball.
Why would you speak that hell?
Oh, boy. I haven't heard anything further than that, though. I'm kind of removed from the Sims world because I cannot be sucked into that.
She's in...
Speaking of world that's easily sucked into...
Nice.
The Witcher.
Sorry.
So we finally found out where Geralt is going in his major crossover, and...
Surprising.
The idiots,
no,
not really.
No.
And like once it happens, like oh, well that makes 100% sense.
Right.
Geralt is joining Soul Calibur 6 as the guest character, or I should say, as a guest character. We don't know if we're going to get more, but in the most recent years, we've only gotten one. Ezio was
console.
The one in
platform.
Five,
right.
And then 4 was the last one where we got more than one.
Didn't Font
just Ezio?
Really?
Just Ezio. Yeah.
So 5 was the one that had Yoda and Vader, and that was 4?
That was 4.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
So as of right now...
I want Kylo
now,
Ren. Soul Calibur.
Not... Oh, God, no. So...
Just because he's extra enough to, like...
With all the buff, with the waist high.
Yes.
Shirtless.
Yes.
Just
that's
that.
The
come
only
on.
Way.
The I don't want to talk about this right now costume.
Yeah.
So he's got both of his swords. He's got his signs, and... I mean, he looks pretty solid. We have a Witcher-themed stage.
I think it looks so low poly. I think it's like
well,
Geralt from Witcher 2. Like, this is, like,
oh,
not, like...
Come on.
Like,
that it's
looks
not
terrible.
That bad.
Playing
okay.
Witcher 3.
But
like,
also,
it's just,
I have played Witcher 3.
Compared
it looks
to
like
the,
Witcher 3.
Yes,
no,
but
it does
compared,
not.
Compared,
yes, it does.
Compared
so
to the engine
garbage.
That CD Projekt Red made for Witcher 3.
Correct.
The Soul engine... is a doesn't need to be as high poly as high res as it, but the fluidity of motion and the action sort of speaks for itself. And while we won't,
well, this is all MOV. This is not
This is all cinematic, and now we're getting a little bit of the gameplay.
It looks just good enough for the way you view the game and how it's played.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
It's not an RPG. You're not trying to get immersed in it like you are in Witcher.
My point is, it's just tough looking at. Like when you spend,
you're a Witcher snob.
I am. I've spent 170 hours for the game. Like I think he's one of my favorite characters ever. And then you look at this and it's like, it looks like PS2 era Geralt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he looks good.
It doesn't look as good as Witcher 3. I think you need to go back and look at Witcher 2 again, because it looks a hell of a lot better than Witcher 2.
Fair enough. Okay, I'll give you that. Kieran Moran looks cool.
So now, I know Nate, you and I, we freaked the fuck out of the Game Awards when they said, "Does your soul?"
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you interested in Soul Calibur 6 before?
Yeah.
And two, does Geralt sweeten the pot a little bit?
It doesn't sweeten the pot. For me, this is a game I was already planning on getting. Mm-hmm. But it does, it's cool. He's a guy I would definitely like to play, a character I like to mess around with. Mm-hmm. So it's nice. I mean that.
Yeah,
me too, man. I think that guy is.
Yeah, guys, I'm all about it. My dream match, Steve, if knows. I could ever make it happen. Stevie in the booth again, guys.
Geralt and Lizard Man?
Cervantes.
Oh,
because he's got
100%.
Even like Mitsurugi is my
your
guy.
That's your jam.
So even seeing them duel together in this was pretty cool.
I think it'd be rad too if he pulled out the different sword based on who he was fighting.
Somebody said that on Reddit. That'd like if he fonts the monsters and he pulls out the silver sword.
Be very cool.
That'd be badass. Right. All right, that's really fun. Soul Calibur is one of those franchises that when it first came out, I never really got a hold of it. Like I don't know what it was, but I tried Soul Calibur 4 was the first one that I really tried in earnest, and it wasn't the right fit for me. Yeah. And then 5 came out. I used Ezio a lot, and he was a great character in that. And then that 5 was when I started to really enjoy it. But I never really I don't have a lot of people to play fighting games with.
Yeah.
But now with 6 coming out, I definitely want to give this one a try. And it's beyond interesting. Hey, so Amazon's weird, isn't it?
And it's not usually wrong, which is my favorite part of these next two leaks.
All right, so we got two leaks.
Yep.
Amazon Canada put up a proper SKU for a 2018 Splinter Cell title on PC.
Yeah, they
it was
did.
Quickly removed.
Yep.
But it does suggest that Amazon was getting ready to accept pre-orders on something that Ubisoft was planning to announce soon. Now, they did talk about it last year at E3, but it's been about 1 week since you looked at me. It's also been 5 years since... That was really bad.
No,
so it's been about 5 years really since good. We've had our last Splinter Cell game. Patrick, you were pretty stoked about this.
I was. Well, so Blacklist really, like, underperformed, which is a bummer, because it was, like, one of the very last titles to exclusively be on last gen, and it was gorgeous or whatever, but, like, everybody was kind of transitioning to this kind of next gen. I am incredibly excited. I think Ubisoft at this E3, if this is this plus their Division 2 or their tentpole titles this year, like, we're in for a good fourth quarter.
Yeah, we were talking about this last year.
I'm very, very excited about this. So,
anybody else?
No. Nope. Did you guys play Spies Mercs? And do you guys ever play the multiplayer?
Spies versus. I mean, yeah. I played maybe one round on the original Xbox.
It's very. It's just really innovative, right? Like, one group of slow plotting first person, like, mercs versus a bunch of third person spies that have different abilities. I thought it was really cool. So we'll see.
We will see. You know what else we'll see?
What else?
If Modern Warfare 2 Remastered is coming out at the end of April.
When it comes out. I think that's a weird quarterly.
That's a very weird thing. I think it's just an end of a quarter thing. But on Amazon Italy, they suggested that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered is coming out for about $25.
As its own. So that, I think that's the other piece that I think is weird about this. Is not only
standalone.
The date. It's not that it's a standalone, but 25 as a standalone. Like, even when they did Modern Warfare 4.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4.
That was a pack-in for, like 9 months. And when it was a standalone, it was $40.
$40.
$40. And worth it. I thought it was pretty great. This is this one. These retail listings are very rarely wrong, if ever. But this one's seeming a little less credible at $25. Like, who buy Modern Warfare 2 is dope, but, like, at $25, it seems
weird.
Off to me. Yeah.
It's weird. Right. Also, the solo by itself, when it like you mentioned, like how the first one was a packaging, but that decision might have been so unpopular that maybe they're going a little bit cheaper and a little bit more. It's out now or whatever, so that you get those. I don't even know the word. Like the impulse buyers that go, yep, And well, then
so
they
like,
have
but see, the other thing, they don't have many titles this year. Activision doesn't anyway, so like I can see why they'd want to get something else out there. And the other thing is that their title this year is Black Ops 4, which we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. That doesn't need to be buoyed by a remaster. We knew that Infinite Warfare with a, like the league-leading thumbs down on YouTube, they're like, fucking, we got to pack something in with it. So I think Black Ops 4 as its own property stands okay without the pack-in.
Yeah, I can agree with that, but...
I think they just want to remind people of when Call of Duty was good. I'm not kidding.
I don't think you are. I think they keep selling pretty well.
When it was king.
That's the last one I played and really enjoyed. Was Modern Warfare 2.
It was also the last one that the original founders of Infinity Ward worked on. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Half of that game. I thought a lot of the... I like Black Ops 2 multiplayer was really good.
Black Ops 1 was okay. I didn't play.
Not enough.
I'm really excited about what they do with this story with Mason and the numbers, and like I really hope they get back to that really fucked up, weird story that only Black Ops can do.
This is just weird.
Is Black Ops had the Black Ops is when they started doing zombies, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that wasn't that World at War that did the first one?
Oh shit, was correct. It? I bet it was because it was Treyarch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
World at War was the first one to do it, but Black Ops, nobody bought that one. So it was Black Ops where it popularized. Yeah.
And then it became just one of the tent pole, like one of the three like modes that have to be in every Call of Duty.
Yep.
Yeah, good call. That's a Treyarch joint.
Modern Warfare 2. I liked World at War because it was a four-player campaign.
I loved it.
Yeah, and everybody had a position. It wasn't just everybody has a gun. There's one person with a flamethrower.
And you can hit those people in the trees. And they make that terrible noise. Yeah, see? You still think about it. I hear those voices when I close my eyes.
Hello, and those voices consist of Gary Oldman and Kiefer Sutherland, by the way.
Correct.
Yeah.
He was also the crazy Russian dude in your head, right?
Mm-hmm. That was
Oldman.
Black Ops.
Yeah, but that was also Gary Oldman. Yeah, he played that crazy Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mason, the numbers.
No more Russian will always be.
That's what I want to know. There's no way that that's released in this climate right now. Yeah. You think that literally
Black Ops 1 or Modern Warfare 2?
No, in Modern Warfare 2 because Russian of the level. Thing. Do you think that this is indeed remastered, that they leave that bit in?
Yeah.
You can't take it out.
I am with you. I think that it's just ballsy. I would love to see them leave it in.
It's one of those decisions where it's one of those things that parents and quote lawmakers would look at and go, see, video games are bad, but it's something that was such an artistic choice.
We went through all of that already when it came out.
Oh, naturally.
But it was in the sizzle reel that they just played for Trump.
Yes,
they
it was.
They literally just put they that played that, in.
They
I
put
know.
The level in. But it was also, like, I went... And it's bad because I was watching and went, oh, good. At least they picked it to where the player isn't shooting. And there they go.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Taking away the idea that you can, but you also don't have to.
You don't have to.
And it's one of those storytelling mediums that you can't get in a movie theater.
But tell me, and that's emblazoned in all of our minds. Really, that was one of those moments you will never forget.
Never.
Yeah, keep it in. I'm with you, Nate. Like, I hope they do. That's gutsy.
Let's see what happens. Right. Hey, you know what else happened? Ninja and Drake almost broke Twitch.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. This was wild. So they didn't break the record of most people watching a Twitch stream, which was $1.1 million, which was League Finals?
Yeah.
Dollars?
One of the worst.
Well, sorry, 1.1 million viewers. My bad. Mm-hmm. So it's Ninja, who's like the top
but
Fortnite
for like
streamer.
A solo streamer that's like not
that's,
an event.
No, but
that,
amazing.
Is,
yeah.
that is
that's
the record.
They broke
the record.
Concurrence though, right?
No,
concurrence was 1.1 million
for an organization.
Final. Yeah, it was an organization.
For a solo streamer, he has the record.
It was 380 something, and now it's 630.
Yeah,
based
it was like 400 something because Tyler 1 broke set the new one, and then when Doc came back, he was at like 380 something.
Yeah, close.
He almost beat it.
Got it. But for this, Ninja had been dropping. Who goes by Ninja? His name is Tyler Blevins. But he was dropping hints that this Drake thing was going to be going down. And I mean, once it happened, I remember seeing this on social media, and then everybody's just like,
"Wait, what?
What's going on?"
Yeah.
And like trending was Drake, Ninja, Fortnite, Twitch.
Did you guys tune in?
Yeah.
I know. I could not.
I
right?
caught
like
the
at like
end.
3 minutes, I was like, "All right."
I was playing
okay.
League, and my friend, I like. I was playing a game with my friends, and the game ended, and my buddy went to bed, and like me and my friend started another game, and like a few minutes into that game, my buddy messaged me because like he had gone to bed, and I guess he was checking Twitch. And he was like, "Ninja's playing Fortnite with Drake right now." I was like, "What?
Has he been listening to Drake?" Stacey, how much did you get to see?
I probably only watched about 15 minutes of it. Yeah. Okay. I saw a pretty sweet victory royale, though.
was this duos or when they were
squad? This was duos. Okay. I only saw when they were playing duos. Okay. The chat was just...
insane.
Everyone was really excited. It was really interesting. I mean, Ninja's always really fun to watch because he's very talented at Fortnite. Mm. So he's always got very interesting moves and plays.
Disgusting in that game.
Is he?
Is he?
That's cool.
Like jumping across the map and like building a box to box someone in and then putting a trap in there so they just die.
It's fantastic.
What are you doing, dude?
This was so interesting. Well, so like the other thing that like I picked up, I only watched for like 2 minutes, but like what I found interesting was this was not like... Like Tyler Blevins and Ninja would call out like, "Yo, we're gonna go over to this place," and like Drake knew where that was, right? This was not like,
Drake mentioned that he's been playing Fortnite for the past couple of months, like during breaks from recording sessions.
You could tell. Right. My point is that like this was not like, and that was interesting seeing this coming together organically. This was not some brand integration. This was not like a sponsored thing.
This is like, hey, this guy's good and popular. Let's make something cool,
right?
So, well, the story is that he was watching. He was like watching Ninja's videos.
He would be half playing, half watching.
So I hate to be this person, but they were playing cross-platform, which is not available publicly yet.
Isn't it now with the new patch? I thought it was.
It is not. Yeah, Drake... they are starting to let you play cross-platform with the iOS and PC, but so far that's the only thing that's live.
So when they were playing what? Xbox?
Drake was on PS4. No, Drake was on PS4.
It briefly accidentally went live a week ago or 2 weeks ago or something but it's not ago. It's not live.
Huh. Yeah, so Drake was playing on PS4 and Ninja was playing on PC.
Got it.
And I don't know what the other two, Travis Scott and Juju Smith-Schuster, were playing on.
They're both on PS4.
On PS4 as well? Okay, so yeah. The article that I found from the BBC says recently introduced crossplay system. Yep.
They've announced it.
Okay.
I mean, it's a thing. We know it's a thing that's going to happen, but they've been testing it with the phone app and PC integration first.
That makes sense. So this happens.
Yeah.
The beta test sort of invitation only for the iOS app and then the public drop of the iOS app happen. And it leads to, and I think that this is a direct result of the Ninja and Drake stream, which puts Fortnite on so, even though we've talked about how Fortnite has been leading Twitch as its most streamed game.
Yeah.
But I personally think whether it was on purpose from, it was a idea from Epic to just sort of push the brand out there and put it right out there into the public eye. Because, I mean, why the hell is BBC talking about Twitch and Fortnite and all of this?
Because Drake has
37 million followers on Twitter.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. So this leads to people going, oh, Fortnite.
Right.
Oh, wait. They search for it on their phone. Oh, it's an app. And then they download the app. I mean,
not even just, oh, Fortnite, but, oh, Twitch. There's so many people who still don't know what Twitch is.
Totally. Agreed.
And so this turned a huge amount of people on to that.
Please subscribe with your Amazon Prime subscription.
My tinfoil hat goes on, and like, there's no way that this wasn't planned in some way.
Yeah.
That aside, it felt natural. It felt good.
It felt like a nice collaboration, kind of coming out for something fun for all the viewers. Yep. And it was a good time.
Let me ask you this. So, like, to me, you start then looking at the future of streaming, right? Like, and so, like, one of my favorite things about Twitch and about, like, streamers, I don't watch many games on Twitch, but like I like that you can be anybody in the world and you can be a popular streamer, right? Because you're talented and you're interesting or whatever, or all of those things. This to me felt like a sea change in the way we ingest streams, in the sense that like it'll be the haves and the have-nots, and those of you who have celebrities coming by and those of you who don't. And to me, this genuinely felt like when, I know this sounds ridiculous, but like when celebrities started joining Twitter, right? Like that all of that changed, because it used to be just this kind of fun little community. I was early Twitter adopter or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, there are the Drakes of the 37 millions. And like, to me, I hope it doesn't change who can be surfaced as a good and popular and interesting streamer, because there's plenty of voices out there that don't get acknowledged or can't without, like, I don't know, a Nicki Minaj stopping by and, like, stream some, you know what I mean? Like, so that's my hope that this doesn't.
No, Nicki Minaj, you want to play Counter-Strike?
I hope actually, this didn't change
I don't the think, dynamic. I don't think the way that Twitch operates, people go, oh, Fortnite, oh, Twitch, let me go. They see Fortnite on the thing. You can click on Fortnite, you can click at somebody who's playing it right there.
But that's, mm-hmm. but that's now.
Right. No, but he's that's talking, what I'm talking about.
Right, but
now.
He's talking about a future where, you know, Summit is having Wiz Khalifa on
right,
next
and,
week.
And all and of the feature, it's Doc all scheduled. Having, right, and it's yeah. all featured, and like it changes that ecosystem.
Well, I don't, because there's still the featured streams on the top right. And that's like, that's paid for placement. That's there on the top right. When you go onto the Twitch homepage,
I do some work with those guys. So.
Well, no, but that's what I mean is they have it in place to where here's the paid stuff, yeah. here's the rest of it.
Gotcha.
So I think if that does happen, it's not anytime soon.
Okay. I mean, I think that's what's
soon.
Neat about
but
that
think,
community is
yeah.
that it's so anybody can be surfaced and be found interesting.
I think as long as it stays like guests on other established, because that's the thing is like. Yes, Ninja's one of the bigger streams. He's one
yeah,
of the haves,
totally.
But he also built himself.
I agree,
like he's
totally.
Got a natural
fan
base.
But can
that
happen
following.
If it's now because the Ninjas and the Docs and all those have the right? The, those are the people
right.
who be partnered up. So like, I think that creates a ceiling for to the next Ninja can never rise up potentially. And
that's where
my concern.
I disagree. I think a lot of it because of the way that games work and stuff. And even if you look at Fortnite and all the big Fortnite streamers were. 2 months ago, the biggest PUBG streamers,
yeah.
right? So who knows what's going to happen with
totally.
The game.
You're right.
Yes, Fortnite is huge right now. It's also free to play.
Yep.
It's also the biggest game on Twitch because all of the biggest streamers are streaming it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a co-mingling where they're streaming Fortnite because people watch it.
Of course.
But people also watching Fortnite because they're streaming it.
Of course, yeah,
so
totally.
Who knows 6 months from now where that's going to go?
I
think this is a seminal moment in games. Like it felt like
oh, yeah.
this is
especially
a real
Twitch
celebrity.
Too.
It wasn't even
right.
like that moment where like, oh, he's a celebrity and a gamer. It just, yeah, we're now in a generation where just, yeah, everybody grew up playing games.
Well,
and I thought it was awesome.
It's
yeah.
also like the difference, you know, T-Pain streams on Twitch all the time.
Yeah.
So does Fred Durst.
Lupe Fiasco.
Used to. I miss
people.
Freddy Durst.
No,
but Drake is
did
like,
it all for the...
arguably... one of the biggest pop stars in the world right now.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even, say,
like
I wouldn't even say arguably.
Yeah, I think it's arguably right now.
Okay.
He hasn't released anything really. He has a couple, you know, he has God Plan and a few singles.
But
he's
he
still on the bottom, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what we hear, hashtag Degrassi. But
was not
I still think that he.
Compared to someone like Kendrick, who's killing it right now,
I think Drake has more of a household name than.
Kendrick?
Than Drake does. That's what I mean. I think Drake is more of a household name than Kendrick is.
I would, if you had said that last year, I would agree with you.
Okay.
This year, I disagree.
At regardless,
right?
Very,
still very big,
very awesome
but
moment
this,
in popular culture
yeah,
and gaming
I was gonna
culture.
Say, this is like if Michael Jackson hopped up on Twitch, he's like, "Yeah, guys, let's get some Fortnite."
So this
It'd
is
be like, "Whoa!"
Well,
this like,
no, this is Moonwalker. This is Moonwalker Walker back on the the Sega Genesis. And
don't
dude,
talk about
that
game
is
amazing, awesome.
I'm on board,
and the arcade
page.
Version is even more awesome.
To be like.
Well, I'm not even exaggerating.
I know you're
but
not.
I just kept thinking about, like, can you imagine, like, being one of his handlers or managers and go, are you going to let him go off mic just for an hour? Just he's going to play games for, like, 2 hours? Like, you know, all of these pros, like, on Long Enough Timeline, they all say something anti-Semitic or racist or homophobic or something.
What was the process like? How long has he been watching
and
Ninja
just
to
let
go,
him go,
it's this guy?
Yeah, right. They just let the Drake's handlers just, like, yeah, fuck it, play some games. It's
yeah.
amazing. It just doesn't happen in this, like, very, like, handled... curated public image.
Curated
cool.
is a good way to
yeah.
put it. So with that, and with the release of the iOS app, Nate pointed out that Fortnite has become the number one iPhone and iPad app
yep.
in 13 countries, and it is also the number two. It's a free app,
yep.
but it is still the number two top grossing app under Candy Crush.
It's a free app, Jeez. But it's also like you can't even play it without an invite. So it's the number one downloaded. All these people download, they can't even play yet.
No,
and then the people that have invites are dumping money into this.
Yes, they
thing.
Are.
Yeah.
My question is, does it tie your
it's
account?
Yes.
Yeah.
If so,
it's all cross-platform.
But I mean, in
it's
terms of...
cross-progression.
Yes.
But let me finish. Sorry. I mean, in terms of them tracking grossing apps, is it only this is payments through the apps, or is it just your account? You bought a bunch of stuff
because you're
on the app.
Because the accounts are tied, people have it on mobile and on console.
I just bought a bunch of stuff on my PS4. Do the sales because it applies to my account.
Well, let me put it this way. When it comes to music, whenever this happened most recently this past summer, I went to see Metallica, and they had their – by buying a ticket – you got a copy of their record. So if you buy a $300 ticket, that record is $300.
Right.
And those purchases go towards record sales, and that boosts their numbers and their placement on the charts. Prince did the same thing a couple of albums ago.
Genius.
So it's one of those things where if you fudge it the right way...
Yeah, it just depends on how they calculate it.
I'll just know a little bit about those ecosystems.
Yes,
I very, very... I hesitate to believe that, like, Sony or Microsoft are going to let them have transparency into that. Like, there's no spending API available that's pushed toward the public. So, like, I don't think there's any way, because they're not going to allow that cross transparency. So to my knowledge, it's a siloed Apple ecosystem or Android. So whatever is spent in that vertical, meaning from your platform, which makes it even more impressive.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, so yeah, there's just no way that they're seeing transparency back there.
That's wild.
It's insane. That's a good point, though, Nate.
Maybe we'll give the mobile version of Fortnite a try. If we do, we'll let you know right here.
I
did that as a transition.
Do you have the invite?
Because we have one more story.
I liked it, Mark. I saw what you did there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, to transition to our last story, hey, Microsoft is kind of sucking for E3. So they have their E3 conference taking place from the Microsoft Theater. It's their own land space. That's where the Video Game Awards are. It's going to be taking place Sunday, June 10th at 1 p.m. It's going to be one of the earliest conferences. The morning of usually when Bethesda does Sunday, too, don't they?
Yeah.
So we don't know if Bethesda's doing an event this year, but if they are.
Yeah.
So we don't know where that's going to be. So they also announced... that they're not going to be at the Los Angeles Convention Center. Everything is going to be in and around the Microsoft Theater. But you were saying
that. They're keeping space on the floor, right, as part of their ESA agreement.
Yes.
But it's all Mixer-focused. So they have Mixer booths for influencers or people can play games, but those games will be streamed. It's to help build that brand. Everything game-related will be off-site.
Demos, new stuff.
All at that theater. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you want to...
It's a long ways away from Anaheim.
No.
It's across the street.
Oh, L.A. Convention Center.
It's across the street. It's literally across Figueroa.
It's a small walk, but the L.A. Convention Center still is hot garbage.
Yeah.
God, I hate that place.
Will not change.
I hate that place. But, I mean, what is... Cool... I guess they're trying to get as many people into the Microsoft Theater, and that opens it up to people who aren't just going to E3. Like, this looks like it'll be a different ticket that you get, but that may open up the door for more people to play all of the stuff that they announce at E3. What do y'all think about this?
I'm excited for the announcement of the Xbox One X.
X?
X-O-X box.
Sure.
The XOX box?
The One Xbox?
I mean, why not at this point?
God damn.
Stacey, you excited about this? Are you going to go to this?
I mean, as a person generally not a huge Xbox person.
But?
I mean, if they've got some cool stuff or, you know, rumors of some cool stuff, then if it's an open to the public event that we have a shot of going to,
Friend of the show, Phil Spencer. I say that on every show I'm on. He was talking about, like, how this is going to be, and I know, like, every year they run their mouth about doing something special, but they're saying this is going to be their I don't know how he languaged it, but, like, biggest E3 presence ever.
Oh, please.
But I'm interested to see, like, but do you remember, yeah, what's it?
Find biggest the quote, because, E3 okay. showing
because what
ever.
He said, do you remember 2.5-3 years ago, right after he was promoted, he said, like, we're going to focus on exclusives and kind of first-party stuff. And we're right at a point where, like, if he'd said that and started making moves 2-3 years ago, like, I think this E3 would be the time we start seeing, like, crazy announcements where they tease Fable, there's a Halo 6. Like, I genuinely think they could have some really cool stuff and also some cool activations, right? Because... I love the move. If you're Microsoft from a business perspective, not only from your metrics perspective, you can get a lot more information about the people who are actually playing your games off-site, but also you can do some, like, cool, like, at South by Southwest, they did that, like, Westworld activation thing, right? Yeah. Like, you all heard about that. Like, what if they did, like, a huge Halo thing where you, like, wear HoloLens and chase nav points?
Well, they did
shit.
Do that with HoloLens and Halo 2 years ago?
Right, and 2015.
Yeah, with Halo 5.
But imagine blowing that up in a much bigger space, and you can do that there. I think it's smart.
And I think also using their own... building that they own opens up more of their budget to do stuff like
Probably.
That. So the quote is, "These changes, expanding our presence, multiple venues, taking over the Microsoft Theater, give us the opportunity to bring together a variety of Xbox experiences into one primary location and, most importantly, let fans in on what we're up to in 2018 and beyond in a fresh new way. Not only does the Microsoft Theater allow us to centralize our Xbox presence at E3, but its size enables us to include even more fans and more partners in the Xbox E3 2018 briefing than ever before." And just the company notice was that all of that will make for the company's, quote, biggest E3 showing ever.
I love Phil Spencer. I love him. I think he's a great corporate
sea of t-shirts, man. Yeah, so hopefully this means that we get a better chance to check out what Microsoft is doing firsthand, because E3 tickets are way too expensive.
Yeah.
Even though we're still trying to get in, I wonder how Sony's going to respond. Probably with, yeah, whatever. I think that this means to? Sony's. Well, I think this means
Sony's going to buy up their space.
Not just that, but I think Sony's going to make their floor experience that much better to get people sticking with that the ticket of getting into E3. I think they're going to counter. Xbox likes going like, "No, we're the best," and then Sony goes, "Well, how can we maximize on them making the announcement first?"
I don't think they have to do anything, right? Like, they're killing it right now. And they've got an incredible first-party lineup. Like, Sony's, mm-hmm. they got Ghost of Tsushima, they've got God of War will have just come out, but, like, Last of Us, and what's the other one? The one that just got pushed, the Sony Ben game?
Oh,
the Freakers.
Yeah, I don't
Days
like it.
Gone. Days Gone. Yeah, like,
and Spider-Man will have come out, hopefully, recently.
I think that's a September game, probably. That's my guess. But still, yeah.
Yeah.
They got a great lineup.
Yes, they do. And there was a rumor recently that Microsoft might be doing away with, like, first-party access, which is weird. I don't know. It's rumors are rumors on purpose. But unfortunately, we are kind of out of time. So really quickly, let's find out where you're going to be for the next week and what you're going to be playing and where the folks can find you on social media. Hey, Patrick.
Yo, I'm going to play some Sea of Thieves with you guys.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I definitely still want to do a show from inside of that.
Also, we'll figure it out.
This weekend, I'm playing A Way Out. So I'm incredibly excited about that game. So we'll come talk about it next week. And you can find me on Twitter and P to the D's, or a console of choice at Truly Slide.
Stacey.
Hey guys, Stacey Shuttlesworth. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. I'm probably going to be lost in Assassin's Creed for most of my weekend.
Oh,
Sea of Thieves, which I'm very excited to play. You can add me on PSN at Seriously Siri and see all of my really dumb Assassin's Creed photos.
Oh my gosh! We have to talk about that next week. I know, that was my favorite thing about Twitter. All week. Follow her. It's one of the most interesting things I've seen on Twitter.
I do. Really
game-related
in
a very long time. I was dying. And, like, with a group of people that didn't understand what I was laughing at, they're like, "Wait, but she took 43 bodies?" And, like, no, but video games aren't violent. Anyway, it was great.
It's fine. It was very kosher. Very nice. Yeah.
I have no time to finish the main game.
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
I wonder what I spent an hour and a half doing
instead. An hour and a half.
Oh, at least.
Dear God.
Worth it.
Hey, Nate. How about you?
What's up, nerds? Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social media at DoglikeNate. I was ready that time.
Yeah, crushed it.
I'm going to be playing lots of Sea of Thieves this week and probably some soul-crushing League of Legends. So hit me up on Twitter and we'll play some games.
I'm going to be playing a fair amount of Sea of Thieves. There are a couple of... I have to practice for the Schmodown Inner Geekdom League by watching a lot of movies that I may or may not have seen, or just as a refresher course, because I got a big match coming up. And if you want more information about that, if you like nerd trivia about some of your favorite comic book and nerd world movies, follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica for more information about that, because that's a fun character that I get to play. Also, I start a new podcast with Alexis Torres and Michael Young, the Nerd Soul podcast. Check it out. We put out our first episode this past week. I've been tweeting about it. Check that out. What else is there? Stacey and I are on Rooster Teeth Reviews on AfterBuzz TV every Wednesday, as well as I host a wrestling podcast on Wednesday. Mark B. Donica for all of that and more. Thanks again to The Popcorn Talk for hosting us here. You can follow everybody there at The Popcorn Talk. We'll see you next week on the open seas. Yar.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.